side here.
Had no wheels.
Turn me around. Yeah. No, no.
This side?
Yeah, this side right here. Okay, I'm milking this for all I can get out of it.
This wasn't exactly what it is, but sometimes follow.
You know, when you get old, your kids start bossing you as you boss them. You understand that, some of you do, don't you? These kids decided that I cannot stand up and preach because I keep breaking my leg. The doctor said because of diabetic neuropathy, I have 15% feeling of my feeling in my hands and my feet, that I actually, every time it starts to heal, I stand up and walk on it and break it. And so he said, unless they cut my leg off, I think that's a threat. But it's a good enough threat. I don't want them cutting my leg off. So I apologize, but blame my children. They told me, don't walk on it. Well, that's sort of hard to do. Let's look in the book of Revelation, the chapter 7. I'm just going to read rather than trying to do the responsive reading from this awkward situation. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were, which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we ask you to bless this meeting today. And we pray, Lord, you'd be with Brian and Judy and Alyssa and all of their family and just comfort them, give the best answers you can. And we just ask your mercy, Lord, and we bring them before you. I ask you for anyone in this room that needs to be saved. I pray, Lord, that they'd get saved as quickly as possible. But may your word touch some heart. May all of us as Christians be drawn closer, stronger. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak, and may I be a blessing with your word. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Alyssa had a collapsed lung, and she's in the hospital, and I don't know whether they're going to operate now or not, but Brian is supposed to preach today, and if he does not come in, I'll preach. No problem. Just have to do it from a wheelchair because of my sorry kids.
Stubborn and stupid is a bad combination.
I raised five very independent children. Look at the last part of chapter 6. And it says, verse 15, and the kings of the earth. Now, verse 14, the heaven departed like a scroll. Yeah, the old window shades, you know, that you would pull down like this. Did you ever have them? You pull them down and you leave them to sit and they go, prrr. That's what he said heaven did. And I tell you what, when the earth starts moving under your feet, you don't like it. If you've never been in an earthquake, you don't understand what I'm talking about. But I was in an earthquake, several, in Guatemala. I was on a two-story house, and I was in the upper bedroom. I got sick, and after family altar and breakfast and everything, I just went back up and laid down. And that bed began to just shake and like that. And I thought it was Eddie and Billy. And I said, all right, boys, Daddy doesn't feel like playing right now. And I get off under that bed, but the bed didn't stop shaking. Well, that made me mad. You going to do what I tell you to do, or I'm going to get you. And I went over that bed, and there were no kids there. And I thought, what's going on? You know, I went over to the window. It was on a main street with buses and stuff like that. People were holding on to telephone poles all along the street. When the earth moves out from under you, you really have a fearful thing. You're used to it being there solid. See, it'll even break your foot if you fall on it the wrong way. Well, anyway, it departed as a scroll. And so 15 kings of the earth, great men, rich men. Hey, your money wasn't counting for much. Chief captains, mighty men, ever bondmen, ever free men, hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Earth is got uncontrolled terror. They just are, everything is moving out of the scene. They see the sign of Christ coming. They see the heavens being turned into something they don't know what to do with and how to do it. And they're just scared as they can possibly be. All right, now chapter 7. After these things, now this is the part of ending up chapter 6. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, or on any tree. Now, if one of you wants to tell me how unscientific the Bible is here, anybody? What do you have? North wind, south wind, east wind, west wind. Anybody got any different? Not in the whole world. So what is the problem with him speaking that way? We know the earth is round. God knows it's round. It's not a problem. So don't let somebody throw something like that at you. It is a north wind. We call it a norther. Do you know we have some things around here they call nor'easter? And that's up north about where New York and some of them, Boston and them, or they have a nor'easter. That's the direction of the wind. Well, he's telling four angels, remember, this is a vision in heaven of what's happening on the earth at the time. Four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding of four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. What happens if the wind doesn't blow? A lot of problems. That wind is a blessing. I know it brings sinus, you know, things like that. I know it brings cold. You ought to see my dog. I thought he was getting old. He's 6.5 years old. He's a blue heeler. And he's a work dog, you know, he's strong and he's active and whatever. And he's not a lap dog. You would not even like him in your house. I know some of you think you're supposed to put your dog under air conditioning and stuff like that. Well, he was a little slow under this air, all of this heat that we've been having. And I thought, well, you're getting old, boy. You're getting old. I'd throw the thing. He'd run, pick it up, bring it back, throw it about three times, and then he'd just look at me. You really want me to go get this thing again? Well, when this wind blew in, I walked out on the back porch, and I threw it, and boy, he took off after it. I mean, just as happy. After about 10 times, he'd just bring it up and give it to me. Please. It was the cold, and that wind come in and brought all sorts of blessings, and that's the truth. So, what's going to happen if the winds don't blow? Well, it said, I saw another angel. Now, that was four angels there. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And here's the message, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till. Hey, till we've sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. You four, you can't go. We're not going to turn you loose until we get ours sealed on the earth. Now, Jehovah's Witness tell you that the 144,000 are all that are going to ever be saved and be in heaven and whatever. I don't know that any of them are Jews. Had you ever thought about that? I've talked to them about it. They don't have good answers. You know what it says here? He says, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Heard the number that were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel on the earth. These guys aren't in heaven. John's in heaven. John's seeing all this stuff up here in heaven. And he's looking down here on the earth, and what's going to happen? These angels are going to go out, and they're going to seal in the forehead, listen to it, 144,000 of all of the tribes of the world. 144,000 Jews. Now, you might not be able to find them. They may not be able to find themselves right now. There's a lot of things in there. And you take when you go out there, but God can find them. Linda here months ago, "Daddy, would you get your DNA done?" And she had done a DNA thing. "Would you get your DNA thing?" I said, "Well, my dad told me I was Scotch, Irish, and Dutch. That was my background." She said, "Well, I would really like it. It would be really something for me if you'd get this thing done." I did. Well, I'm about 80-something percent English and Irish and whatever. About 50% English, maybe about 30% Irish, and then a mixture of things. Oh, my daddy was right. I was Scotch, Irish, and Dutch, you know. So all of the bad blood in my kids comes from their mother. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. This is not talking about Christians. This is not talking about Gentiles. This is talking about Jews. Why? Anybody know a Mohican? Anybody know a Mohican? You ever read the book, The Last of the Mohicans? They disappeared. There's been a whole lot of other people in the world have disappeared. How come the Jews haven't? God still got something to do with the Jews. And it's still coming. There's still going to be the day of Jacob's trouble. I think I'll read you a verse on it here in just a little bit. It's a day of Jacob's trouble. God's got his stuff planned out and it's going to work out, and I don't believe anybody's going to change it. Not you, not your sentimentality, not even the Antichrist. They're not going to be able to do it. These 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, and they're going to be sealed on the earth. Look what it says right here. Of the tribe of Judah, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, we're sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, we're sealed 12,000. Now after this, you probably didn't notice it, and you wouldn't unless you were really studying it. There are two tribes that aren't in there. Dan and Ephraim. Dan and Ephraim. These two tribes aren't in there. Well, who took their place? Levi, who was the priest tribe, and Joseph took Ephraim's place. Now, why in the world would we have a change in here like this? Well, I want you to look with me at Deuteronomy 29:14. Deuteronomy 29:14. "Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, also with him that is not here with us this day. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by, and ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord his God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him when the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven." Woo! That sounds like something, doesn't it? Well, Read a few more verses. Judges chapter 18 and verse 30 and 31. And the children of Dan set up graven images, the graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up in Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. They're idolaters. Look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Hosea 4:17. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Now you know what's happened here? Evidently, now this is what I've read, and I think it makes good sense. God removed them. They're not in the list, and that's no accident. That's not a mistake. That's a judgment of God. Dan and Ephraim are gone. Their names are removed. Why? The only thing I can think of is idolatry. You think your idolatry doesn't bother God. Bless your heart. I don't care if you're a saved, born-again Christian, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, your idolatry this pleases God something terrible. He doesn't like your covetousness, which is idolatry. He doesn't like you putting your children before the Lord. I would never say, oh man, the Lord can't have my children. Well, he just might take them away from you. You know? You can't say something like that. And you know how you love your children. And you do. You would sacrifice for them. And you love them and you care for them and whatever, but don't put them before God. They don't come before God. God comes first. God comes first in all of us. And that's what they did. And so it shows here that they were idolatrous people. And so I believe that's the reason why they were removed. Now, look at verse 9. After this. Now, what we did, we just transferred from heaven when we were over there in the last part of chapter 6, and we saw these four angels, and we looked down on the earth, and they go through all of the 12 tribes, and they seal in the forehead somehow the servants of God. And there's 12,000 from each of 12 tribes. These are Jews. They're on the earth. They're not in heaven. Do you picture that? Remember, we're looking at a written description of a vision. Now, look at verse 6. After this, I beheld in a little great multitude. What kind of multitude? Which no man could number. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne. They're in heaven. We got a great multitude here. And we're just talking about 144,000 of 12 tribes in Israel being sealed on the earth before some of the great disasters that are going to come in the book of Revelation hit the earth. But they're sealed by God Almighty. God's chosen them out. They're going to be witnesses. I really believe, the Bible says, so all Israel shall be saved in a day. I personally believe these are going to be the messengers in the tribulation going all around the world witnessing to the testimony of Christ's saving soul. And it just may be many, many people saved. You know, when you seek God, when you got trouble, you know, when everything's going good, your job's going good, your marriage going good, your kids are going good, you don't need God. You sometimes tell him that. I don't need you. And everything's going all right now, Lord. You just leave me alone. Isn't that your attitude sometimes?
Right.
God help us. God help us. Well, let me tell you what. When your house burns down, you just might call on God.
Right, amen.
When a hurricane hits your city, you just might call on God. I understand that there are no atheists in foxholes. When the bullets start flying over your head, you start crying out to somebody else to help you. And that's the way right here. No telling how many people these Jews, they're, by the way, we'll read later on, they're all male and virgins. There are 12,000 male virgin Jews of each tribe. And that's later on. I didn't look the verse up. You can look it up later on if you want to. Now, we look at this great multitude. No man could number. Well, of course, we know we got numbers. When I was teaching Revelation 40 years ago, the world had 4 billion people and 1 billion of them were Chinese. Now we got probably 8 billion people. It might be 2 billion of them are Chinese. I don't know. They might still be a fourth of the world. Interesting thing. A great multitude. No man could number. Of course, it's just too many for him to number. Of all nations. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Not just 144,000 Jews. What do we got in heaven? We got a crowd, and you talk about a crowd, and they're singing, and they're praising God, and they're glorifying the Lamb, and Christ is all in their mind, in their beauty, and they're thankful for their salvation. Everybody, black, white, brown, yellow, Democrat and Republican, male and female, little children, let little children come unto me. They're all kinds, and God doesn't matter. He loves everybody. And in fact, where did they find out that everybody had one type of blood? You know, we all got different types, but that doesn't have anything to do with whether you're black or white or brown or yellow. The blood works for everybody, and the life of the flesh, it's in the blood. They probably killed George Washington, bleeding him with these suckers. On, you know, the way they were healing him was to put animals that suck. What are they?
Leeches.
They put leeches on his body, and they're trying to save him. But they're taking the blood out when he needed that blood to rejuvenate everything like that. So that's the way things go. But the Bible said it a long time ago, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that's exactly where it is. And I go every month. I got 10 doctors. I got a blood doctor. Just a blood doctor. And she's a sweet lady. She's from India someplace. But she's a blood doctor. And what they do is they feed me rat poisoning. That's right. It to thin my blood. And so they check it on the thickness of it, you know, and they say they're keeping me alive, man. I got this rat poison. They check how much I get and how much I have to give myself every day. And you don't know what you're eating either. They don't tell you. I just happen to know about this. All right, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues. Hey, why we got so much hate? Why we got so much prejudice? Why we got so much judgment? Who cares? We're all different. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, a great big congregation, and he had the women to stand up on Easter Sunday and show off their beautiful clothes and show how beautiful they were. And he said, God just loves beauty. And I thought, you idiot, he loves variety. What's beautiful to you may not even be beautiful to God. He loves variety. Look back in the ages of the kings in Europe right there, and look at the women they painted in this thing. They're not these Victoria models. No, they had bodies on them, man. Some heft, you know. And that was beauty in that day. What was beauty in World War II? Marilyn Monroe, perfect woman. Well, she certainly wouldn't be a Victoria's Secret model. She had too much flesh. But I think she was absolutely beautiful. That's the right style. That's just my opinion, of course, you understand. Now, they got white robes, and they got palms in their hands. These have got to be saved people. Why are they dressed in white? That's the righteousness of the saints. And they cried with a loud voice. Now they got palms in their hands. They got white robes. They're standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They cried with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Wow. And all the angels round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. They're leading the praise of heaven. Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think what you got is a bunch of Jews that have converted in a day, and they're going to be God's messengers, God's preachers during this tribulation period. They're going to be chased by the devil. You think Hitler was bad? You wait till the day of Jacob's trouble. You wait till the day then the Antichrist goes after the Jews, and he's going to try to kill them. And they're going to run from him, and they're going to witness as they run. And they're going to be killed. Many of them are going to be killed. But they've been sealed already. Some of these natural plagues aren't going to hurt them like it would hurt the rest of the world. And they're going to be hated. At any rate, it says the four beasts fell on the throne before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Now here's what they're all saying. Amen. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be under our God forever and ever. Amen. You know, you ought to think like that every once in a while. You might have to read this, put it on the dash of your car, or put it on your refrigerator box with one of the little magnetic Mac deals. We don't do much praising, do we? You know, I'm an American, a free-born American. I never honored a king in my life. You don't either. I don't look up to the mayor as being such a great personage that I would just really like to take him out to eat and get on his good side. That's what they did with kings. We weren't raised that way. In fact, I was raised, clothes don't make the man. I had a fella tell me one time, actually I went into a place in my overalls and, I bought a gun and pulled a cash out, and just paid for it cash, out of my pocket of my overalls, not even out of a wallet, you know. And he said, you know, my daddy told me, said, look out for anybody that walks in overalls. They'll fool you, you know. Said, he's probably the guy that's got the money. I had another friend, and he was buying a new truck. And he was a ditch digger, a real big ditch digger. Not the little guy that gets down with the shovel, you know, but the guy that owns the company and has the big ditchers and stuff like that. He went in looking to buy a man new truck. He wanted a truck. He's going to build it, make it what he wanted it to be, and he wanted one of those great big rigs, like pulls 18-wheelers. And the first salesman came up to him and just, he was dirty. He just came from work, man. He had mud on him, mud on his boots and shoes and dirty. He said, well, this guy will take care of you over here. I remember him telling me about it. It was really interesting, you know. The guy wasn't interested in showing him any trucks. Well, the other guy showed him some trucks, and he took it out cash and paid for one of those big cabs out of his dirty clothes. You better watch out. You know, you can't tell a book by its cover. And especially in our generation, you can't tell a book by its cover. You really can't. Oh, well, anyway. They're saying amen. We ought to say amen sometime. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You know how to do it, don't you? Praise the Lord. Fool Billy one time. Every time he says something, say amen. He always said, I didn't get an amen on that. Well, just I'll tell you what you do. You just sort of crowd it up a little bit, you know. And Billy says, I'm sure glad to be home. Amen. Well, I think I'll go out and get some lunch today. Amen. Just amen the daylights out of him. You'll shock him to pieces. And I would love for you to shock Billy. That'd be good. All right. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Now, one of the elders there in heaven walks over to John. John just been set up there, you know. Immediately, light years away, immediately he comes from that island, and he's all seeing all this stuff in heaven, way out beyond the North Star. Why do you think North Star is the one fixed star? God's pointing a direction to you, my friend. God's pointing a direction to you. Heaven's out past the North Star. Even it tells you, and it is a passage, and I don't know where it is now, but it's talking about Jerusalem northward. That's where heaven was, northward. So why do you think you have that out there? Well, he's out there, and here comes this elder who lives there. He's one of these guys that are there in the place with the Lord. And he said, who are these people in white robes? Anybody got a guess? Who are these people in white robes? Who has white robes? When you look at chapter 19 of Revelation, Jesus comes back with his army. That's us. That's the Christians. And they're dressed in white robes, washed white in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about here. And John was pretty smart here. I don't know if you're as smart as John, but John was pretty smart. He said, you know. I don't answer why questions. You reckon why? You reckon why I wouldn't answer a lot of why questions? I don't know the answer. Why did God make me 5'11"? And big around, 5'11" around. I'm hardly Mr. 5x5. 5 feet tall and he's 5 feet wide. He don't measure no more from his head to his toe than he do from side to side. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why I'm bald and you're not. I don't know why. I don't know why I got diabetes. My mother and daddy didn't have it. My grandparents didn't have it, as far as I know. But we got it. My sister and I both have it. And they tell me it's heredity. Well, bless your heart. They must have died forever or found out they had it. I don't know who I got it from, how it got transferred. Why? There's a whole lot of why things you're just not going to have to know, because God's got it in his own hand and he knows why. Why did he make you the way you are? You think, I should have been beautiful like that movie star. No. That movie star has got a target on her back all her life, and you just don't know what problem she goes through and going to suffer just because of that beauty, what man's beauty in this particular generation. And it said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them with unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Who are they? They're saved people. Now, I can't tell you. I don't have a lock on it. I don't know whether that's another picture of us, or it says they came out of great tribulation, or whether that's a multitude that are going to be saved from these Jews going in the tribulation around the world. I do believe that trouble causes people to seek God. Trouble causes people to seek God. Now, for you to say that Houston was a wicked city and that's the reason why they got hit, You're making a big mistake.
Amen.
Just like Job's friends made a mistake. They said, this stuff happened to you because of your sin, Job. And Job said, I didn't do anything. I don't have anything. I serve God. I prayed for my kids. He lost all of his kids, lost the respect of his wife, lost all of his money, all of these things like that. And yeah, when they got over, God gave him 10 more kids. Same wife, but 10 more kids. How about that? They weren't the same kids. He still lost those 10 kids. He never got them back. Oh, he had 10 more kids. He got rich again. He got healthy again, and he got all that. But I would not want to be in Job's position. I don't want to be the example of what people would do to serve God. And how faithful they could be when troubles come their way, and how to seek the Lord. And yet, that's a real good book when you're going through trouble. You ought to get familiar with the book of Job when you're going through trouble. And we're all going to have trouble.
Yes.
I've had trouble in my life. Yes, I have. I've had a heartache. I've had my heart broken. I tell you what, you're going to have trouble. Seek the Lord. Now, when trouble comes your way, here's the first thing you do. Is it me, Lord?
Yeah.
That's the first thing you do.
Amen.
You don't look out here at Corpus Christi or Houston or New Orleans or New York or some Los Angeles, someplace like that. They're going to have that Los Angeles fall off out into the ocean and earthquake going to happen and, you know, stuff like that. No. There are plenty of saved people in Los Angeles. There are plenty of gospel preachers in Los Angeles. There are plenty of missionaries being supported out of Los Angeles. Plenty of Bibles being printed in Los Angeles. No. The way the attitude ought to be for you is, when I have trouble, are you trying to get my attention? Because that brings your attention. You just going along, you think, I'm too busy, Lord. I'm too busy. I was holding a revival meeting in Louisiana. And the church I was with, it was a good church. Really strong, powerful, independent Baptist church and good pastor. And I was visiting with him. Both of us walking in suits and ties in the heat and whatever. But we were visiting, trying to get people out to the revival meeting. And we came up to this mechanic shop. And I said, who are these people? He said, well, they're just something brothers. And they got a good mechanic work. It's good work. They're faithful people. Yeah, they're very faithful people. And we went back there, went into the shop. The guys greeted the pastor. Hey, preacher, praise the Lord, brother. Good to see you. And shook my hand. You're the evangelist and whatever. He said, fellas, we missed you. I said, well, you don't understand, preacher. We just got so much work. Oh, you got so much work. Yeah. Well, where are you going to make it tonight? No, preacher, really, we've just got so much work. He said, well, let's pray. And he got out on his knees in that garage in a suit. And he said, God, take their work away from them. They got too much work to serve you. They got too much work to make the meetings. They're making too much money, and they're too rich. Take it away from them so they'll go back to serving you. Preacher, stop. We'll be there. We'll be there. And they were the whole meeting. You just might ought to ask God first, is it me, Lord? But just be real careful when you're pointing your finger at others. You can't judge people that way. The finest people in the world have the worst troubles in the world. The children of God, full of the grace of God and just with love, compassion, they have a lot of heartbreak. Everybody does. This life is no cakewalk. I'm afraid for this generation, I believe there is no discipline in it. And because there's no discipline in the adults, they can't teach discipline to their children. And so the kids are raised up. Who's going to discipline? The police force. That's what's going to happen. We are a generation looking at a television or a movie screen or playing with a video thing or some of you looking at your phones. I'm amazed. Do you ever get dirty? Do you ever get dirty? We didn't go inside our houses when I was young because it was too hot. We didn't go until 10 o'clock. Everybody sat out. They had chairs on the porches. And they sat out till 10 o'clock at night, and the neighbors would talk to each other and all the kids would run around. The houses were too hot. We didn't have air conditioning. We didn't even have a fan. I was old enough to get on the bus and go to town and buy the first fan in our house. I think I was 7.
Yeah.
We've got a problem. I tell you another problem. When some of the famine and stuff that's going to happen on the earth is going to happen, it's going to be a whole lot worse than the Depression in the 30s. In 1920, 80% of the population of the United States lived on small farms. They grew their own vegetables. They had their own cow. They milked her. They had their own chickens. They saved their corn, made hominy out of it. They put it down in a cave. Down there, they'd dig a hole and they'd put a top over it and there'd be a little mound out there, and it was sort of like a bomb shelter, but it wasn't a bomb shelter. It was a place to store their goods that they had. They canned. The sweat would be coming off of these wives. Let me tell you what's going to happen when the gas just doesn't run for a little while. HEB's going to be empty. It won't take 2 or 3 days. You go down for water, you go down for food, you go down for something else, it's not going to be there. If the trucks don't run, and if the gas doesn't run, and if they don't have the gas to run them, people are going to starve. Now, they didn't starve then. They had no money. They couldn't do anything. Your mother, grandmother, and grandfather, they didn't starve. They had their food. They might not have liked what they had. My dad never did like hominy again in his life. He said he ate too much hominy during the Depression and too much chicken. But it's going to be a disaster. It's the most economical way to live. It's the most convenient way to live. All of us bunched together in these great, big, huge city, and this little city right here, this little city, it's going to double in nothing flat. They can't keep the highways clear enough right now, and they're working on them all over the place. Troubles. When troubles come. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. When he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Back in the time when I was a full-time evangelist, I would announce, tomorrow night I'm going to prove to you there are no women in heaven. And some of those women would go, you know. And I was just having fun. But I've got a verse. Did you read this verse? When he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. About the space of half an hour. That is absolute proof, Bible proof, no women in heaven. Telegraph, telephone, tell a woman. That's the means of communication. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having the golden censer. That's something that puts out incense. Given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints which are upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. See, you've got this incense making the prayers acceptable to God. It's a beautiful thing. It's in heaven, by the way, not on earth. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar. Now, he just took that censer up there, and he had this incense with it, and these prayers are offered up to God. Now, what happens next? He takes the censer. It's now empty. And he took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and cast it into the earth. He's in heaven. Here comes some judgment. Whew. The book of Revelation is a book of processed judgment. Think about it. It's processed judgment. That's why a lot of people don't like it. And they don't like to read it and let it say what it says. We're scared of judgment.
Amen.
We are.
Amen.
I don't care if it's a local precinct judge. I don't want to go before him. They got power enough to take my car away. They got power enough to put me in jail overnight. They got power enough to do a whole lot of things to me. I don't like anybody with that much power standing out in front of me. Do you? I never did like that too much. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire at the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. How about that? And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Do you notice how the seven seals, when you get down to the sixth seal, it stopped. And then we had the seventh seal open up. What's going to come up? Well, they're going to come up seven trumpets. And when these trumpets go out, these are judgments going out upon the earth. As he broke the seals off of that book, judgment is happening to the earth. And when these seven trumpets are sounded, you're going to read about things happening to this earth. The Bible describes it in a lot of different ways. The judgment, let's see, is the verse I was looking for. In Jude 14 and 17. Jude 14 up to 17. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. You know, he's talking about the guy in Genesis. The guy that walked along with God and God took him. Never died. Never had a physical death. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. He prophesied. Now, I didn't know this prophecy. I don't read it anywhere in the Old Testament. I don't know where he got it unless it was by revelation. I'm just not sure. He prophesied, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s, not 10,000, 10,000s plural of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, which all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers. Are you a murmurer or a complainer? Yeah, we got a bunch of us, don't we?
Amen.
My air conditioning is out. My car won't run. I don't have enough money.
Amen.
We're sorry complainers.
Amen.
I can't walk on my foot. My kids won't let me. These are murmurers and complainers walking after their own lusts. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Your biggest problem is your lusts.
Yeah.
Your lust for food, your lust for drink, your lust for pleasure, whatever it is. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Did you ever hear of all the loud mouth, stupid people talking against God? When I get up there, I'm going to tell the old man. You ever heard anything like that?
Yeah.
Sure you have. Because there's some idiot trying to look big in front of you. You're not going to say anything to God. You're going to fall flat on your face. If John, the most beloved disciple, the last living apostle, when he sees this vision of Jesus, falls flat on his face like he was dead, what do you think you're going to do? You didn't know Jesus in the flesh. You didn't lay on his chest over here telling stories or talking things with him. You weren't close to his age and be his friend. John was. He fell at his face as dead. And he looked at him in fear. That's what you're going to do. Great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts, separate themselves, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Well, next month sometime, 3 months now from now sometime, we'll talk about the trumpets. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.